ESPN 97.5, presented by Zadot Jewelers.
KFNC 97.9 HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant at the G, Yo, and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah!
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Baritex Community Bank Studios, located at Bobcat of Houston in Lamarck. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Four-man rush. Rodgers to the end zone. And Wilson! Can he one-handed and stay in bounds? They say he was out. What a grab, though. One-handed.
That, oh, my gosh. Ridiculous catch.
I mean, that was pretty cool. I'm not going to lie. That was pretty cool. Now, was anything else cool last night? No. That was a disaster. But, you know, Joe, on my drive down here to Bobcat of Houston in Lamarck, we're going to be here till 3. Something came to me.
What's that? You're going to take one of these excavators and drive over to remove Kenyon Green permanently from the Texans roster?
I mean, honestly, one of these beautiful machines here probably would be more effective than the entire interior of the Texans' offensive line.
Definitely. If it just left it in park.
And it would be cheaper, too, because I'm assuming none of these costs, close to $188 million if you multiply it by 5. But no, this is the thing that we can all agree on today. We can all agree that, these issues are a real problem. And I think everyone can agree. We don't have to keep on saying, those 6-2. We don't have to keep saying, CJ Stroud. We don't have to keep saying, D'Amico Ryans is going to figure it out. Nope. We can all just say, this is a problem, and it's been a problem.
Things are bad. There's really no other way to put it. Things are bad. Like winning gives you time. Winning gives you time to fix your problems. Winning gives you time to ignore your problems. It makes everything no big deal. Kenyon Green, we won 6 games with him at left guard. That's what D'Amico
Ryan. It's incredible.
That's what they told us, Paul. They won 6 games with him. They still won 6 games with him, to be fair. But things are very bad for the Houston Texans right now.
But you know what? I'm going to positive spin this.
Okay.
I am the Texans flagship. They wish they had me right now, because I'm going to positive spin this. You know why yesterday was a nice moment? Because we all know what's up. Even the Texans did it. I'm so thankful that we did not hear a bunch of crap coming out of D'Amico Ryans about how, they're going to get better, how we didn't hear that from C.J. Stroud either. They were finally honest. Sean, I'm going to throw you on the spot here, but I want to hear D'Amico talking about how he's not sure what's happening up front.
I'm not sure what's happening up front. We'll watch the film and see what it is, but obviously we give up 8 sacks, and every drop back or pass situation, it looks like we're in scramble mode, so it's just not good enough. We can't operate on time, and we got to get that fixed.
They do have to get that fixed, and that is a different message than saying we will get it fixed. We've got to get it fixed. They're aware, Joe. They're aware.
Finally, they're aware. It was refreshing to hear. I was like anxious. I felt anxious pulling up like Aaron Wilson's tweets to see this audio, to hear what was actually about to come out of D'Amico Ryan's mouth. Like, what spin zone is he going to give us? Okay, so I have a theory on this, Paul. D'Amico as a player probably hated when his coaches were angry after a win. Didn't get a ton of wins as a member of the Texans. He got some, but not a ton. So I think he would get annoyed by that. He would hate when his coaches would complain and be negative after a win. So D'Amico is just going to be sunshine and rainbows when they're winning, but after a loss, he might actually speak his mind and tell you the truth about what's happening.
This is the closest he's come to.
Yeah, because like it's the same problems. Like it's not. It didn't need to take this long, and for his apparent hate for Aaron Rodgers to to bring this out from him. This has been the same problem for all these games. For 9 games, they've had a bad offensive line. And finally, to hear it's not good enough, it's not the standard. I know we got sacked 8, CJ got sacked 8 times, but he's been sacked 7 times. So what's the difference? Well, they got their ass kicked against a team that's 2-6. Like, the Minnesota Vikings are a good football team. The Green Bay Packers are a good football
team. They're 3-6 now, though.
Yeah, they are 3-6.
You know what?
The Jets are not a good football team.
No, I don't know, man. I don't know.
I think
the Jets figured it out in the second half.
Mike Greenberg? He's getting into your head a little bit?
Oh, yeah. No. Listen, I'm not listening to what that guy says. I do not understand the appeal, and he can get back on his Jets paint thinner, okay? Get high off of that supply. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. The rest of the schedule for the Jets, everything's winnable.
Yep.
And it did feel like they figured things out in the second half last night. I don't know if that carries over to the next game, but considering where they were, losing to my Patriots on Sunday, that was a big step in the right direction for them. But this is not about the Jets. This is not the Jake Asman show. What I'm trying to say here on the Texan side of things is that I like that at the very least they're starting to acknowledge that they can't just fix these problems. Now, not everybody is doing that, but that's really all I got. That's really all I got. It's been something that we have seen week in and week out, and this is how I go from, after the win against the Buffalo Bills, asking why people aren't more excited about beating one of the best teams in the NFL, to being right here. And we're all on the same page now. We all know that these problems are not fixable barring some sort of change. I saw a tweet as I set up here from Pro Football Focus, and I don't even know who played and what grade was what, but the Texans played three guards tonight. Pro Football Focus grades offensive linemen on a 100-point scale. Here are the three grades: 38, 13.8, and 6.2.
I'm going to assume that 38 is Shaq Mason, and the other ones are the Greens. Now, I don't know which one's worse, because Kendrick Green was not any better. If we were wondering why it took so long for him to bench Kenyon Green, it's because Kendrick Green's not much better. He's probably the 13, not the 6, because Kenyon Green was just getting his ass kicked in this game, but they have serious problems. It's not just a Kenyon Green issue. It is a Juice Scruggs issue. It is just the offensive line taking no accountability issue, where they just are talking about one-on-one matchups and got to win those. Well, you're not. And your quarterback is getting murdered back there. It's not sustainable football. And if you want to keep playing like this, good luck. You're not going to make the playoffs. Like, the Texans are not going to make the playoffs, because at some point Davis Mills is going to be the starting quarterback for the Houston Texans this year if C.J. Stroud keeps getting hit like this.
If Stroud gets hurt, yeah, the season is done. And there was a moment in this game where he got up slow, and I was wondering, hey, what happens next? The offensive line allowed Stroud to get sacked 8 times. He was hit 11 times. The Texans had 10 plays go for a loss. And I think the number was 22 pressures that was on the broadcast on Amazon Prime. Honestly, there was probably more than that.
It felt like it.
So you heard from D'Amico Ryans. C.J. Stroud, after the game, after thank the man upstairs, said that this one was an embarrassing one.
Of course, you know, it's embarrassing. And, you know, to come out here on the primetime game and, you know, get embarrassed like that is – it's never fun. And, you know, I believe, you know, we have to be better in a lot of areas. You know, and that starts with me. You know, I think there's plays I got to make, throws I got to make. You know, times I got to sit in the pocket and just trust my guys. You know, so I really point the finger at me and realize, you know, I got to be better as a football player. And you know, if we want to win, this is not the recipe for it. We got to learn how to dominate and stop learning how to, you know, just go with the flow and play in the fourth quarter. Like, we should be able to, you know, play good in the first half and then roll into the second. I think we got to have a better mindset as a whole.
I liked hearing that too.
Is
it bad that I wake up today?
No.
I like actually hearing what they're saying, because they finally seem to realize, hey, this isn't just going to fix itself. And this goes back to something I was talking about with you, Joe, earlier in the week. I feel like the positive mindset, there's certainly power in it, but at the same time, sometimes being super positive makes you not as reflective as you need to be. And that's kind of the vibe I've been getting from them, is that they think that they can figure this out with the personnel that they have. Clearly that is over. And now the real question is, are they going to do something by the trade deadline? So now you got what? Doing a little math.
4 days.
4 days until the trade deadline. Are you going to be able to find somebody that's available that can fix things? And this is the big problem. I think everyone knew the answer to the interior of the offensive line. Can it be good this year? I think everyone knew that going into the year. If you were watching in training camp, there were moments where the offensive line was struggling. And there were moments where I was saying, I really wonder if this team's going to be able to run the football. Thankfully, Joe Mixon has been outstanding. And once again last night, I mean, it is just Joe Mixon at this point on the offense. And C.J. Stroud all of a sudden is starting to make some bad throws and also starting to seem a little bit happy feet-ish back there. You have had questions about this for a while. You had questions about it going into last offseason. And the only thing that you did going into this year was drafting a swing tackle in Blake Fisher.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's time to do something. And, I mean, really, I think the only choice that you have right now, and we touched on this, you got to move Tytus Howard to left guard. You got to move Blake Fisher over to right tackle. And, I mean, look, things might not go so well with Blake Fisher at right tackle, but they can't possibly be any worse with what this interior offensive line is doing.
It just it has to elevate your floor. At a minimum, it makes the floor of how bad this offensive line can be higher. I mean, like I think we did not take training camp seriously enough, honestly. At least I didn't. I think you came in every day and talked about how bad the offense looked
in training camp.
And how there was one or two days where, like, it happened to the day that, like, Mina Kimes was there. So she was talking about how, like, they're figuring stuff out. But then it quickly went back to being pretty pitiful in training camp. And that was with Nico and Diggs and Tank Dell and no Joe Mixon. But the passing game was the issue in training camp, that they were not good. And maybe it meant something about the defense. The defense is pretty damn good for the most part. But I think we just kind of ignored it. And it does, you know, we push back hard against sophomore slump. I'm seeing some sophomore slump from CJ. I also think, like you mentioned, happy feet. CJ mentioned trusting himself. I definitely feel like he's seeing ghosts, and I don't blame him. I mean, I would be too.
On Halloween of all nights. spooky.
Unintentional. But, like, he is just under fire. And you're right, they have to do something different. I'll be honest, you can't tell me that there are guys who are sitting there in free agency right now who are not on an NFL roster that are not better than the Green brothers at this point.
They're not actually brothers, but no. Yes. They both have the last name Green, and their names both start with Ken.
There are guys.
I'm just Ken, yes.
Guys who are on XFL rosters this last year who might be better than what Kenyon Green and Kendrick Green are. That's how bad it is.
I'm not sure I'm going to go that far.
I'm willing to.
But
try something. Bring in some free agents. Try it. Like you have to address this because it's not just the immediate fix. Like, what if you could trade for someone, but then if Shaq Mason gets hurt, you're screwed. And we know depth on the offensive line is something that's really challenging to get in the NFL. And if this was an injury that forced Kendrick Green to be your left guard, we would be giving them a little bit more of a pass. But it was their plan. Their plan, like you said, was to just roll with this offseason, because Nick Caserio, I don't know if he was stubborn and he did not want to admit he was wrong about Kenyon Green, but this is a clear upgrade they could have made in the offseason at left guard, in free agency, through a trade, and they chose not to do it. And it is not the only reason that this team is struggling so much. But it is at the heart of the reason.
The biggest reason right now is that, yeah, as you said, the offensive line, they can't – it starts there. And it has turned now into something that's actually affecting C.J. Stroud and how good he is in terms of he's now, as you said, yeah, definitely seeing something. He's definitely a little bit more tentative. He is missing open guys. He is taking off and running more. I mean, he had 8 carries last night, and those carries were productive. But at the same time, that's something you know he doesn't want to do. Optimally, receivers are not getting open, but it does start with the offensive line. Still, I mean, Kymie Fairbairn missed 2 field goals last night.
Mm-hmm.
You also had, there's so many issues. A lot of defensive lapses in the second half, coverage wise. You could not stick with Devontae Adams and Garrett Wilson. Hard thing to do, but you still got to do it. And I mean, worst of all, the Jets did same old Jet stuff.
Yes, they did.
I mean, there was a roughing the kicker call that extended a drive. Guess what happened when you got down into the Jets, into the red zone? You fumbled the ball. Thanks, Kenyon Green. They had a reverse for a touchdown, and I'm trying not to swear. that guy is that's one of the stupidest things that you'll ever see in the NFL when these dumbasses forget to bring the ball into the end zone. And I feel I would tell him that to his face. I would want to punch him if I was his teammate and this guy is running into the end zone and forgetting it at the 1 yard line. Is it cool? What if I were walking around? I'm gonna do it right now. I'm just walking around. Oh yeah, I just dropped my phone. Yeah, what's up? I just scored a touchdown. Like that's what these people are doing. They gave you that, and they also gave you some stupid play where the guy, the Jets defensive lineman, he shoves the long snapper. Everyone knows you can't do that.
Yep.
So they gave you all those opportunities to extend drives and things, and guess what happened after you did after that?
Nothing.
It was a 43-yard field goal that you made. Guess what? You missed a 27-yarder off the effing...
Goalpost?
Goalpost, yes. I'm losing words. Now I'm mad again. Okay.
But you should be because it was a... Look, I know we are... The Twitchers are going to blame people like us. The hype was.
I don't care what the Twitter said.
The hype was deserved because the logical step for the Houston Texans was that they were going to elevate their play from last year. This team has taken five giant steps backwards this year. I mean, this is worse to me than what happened last year versus the Jets. Because last year versus the Jets, you can talk about a young team and a young quarterback and a quarterback that got hurt and injuries that happened in the season. Nico had one catch in that game. So he was hurt or ineffective against the Jets last year. This year, the New York Jets gave you every single chance to win.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, this is a game in which you should have won. You should have won. This is a game that goes both ways. You should have lost this game like 28-10 at a minimum, or you should have won this game by a lot more points.
Yeah.
Because your offense just collapsed on itself throughout the game. And Kyme Fairbairn, who at one point was like best kicker in the NFL, missing two field goals yesterday. Unacceptable.
Everyone screwed up. So, at the very least, we're all on the same page, though, and that we realize that these problems are not fixing themselves, and even the Texans realize it now. Will they actually fix it? That's another question entirely. It is Gallon and George. We are at Bobcat of Houston in Lamarck. And guess what, guys? I mean, you can do all sorts of things here when it comes to Bobcat equipment, rentals, parts, services, all sorts of different things here at Bobcat of Lamarck. We're going to keep this going. If you want to vent about this disgusting Thursday night football game that's given us a football hangover, you can at 713-780-3776 to call, to text. You can join on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5. It's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Bobcat of Houston in Lamarck.
Extra pressure. Going deep. Has his man. Has Adams. Touchdown.
This time he gets Petrie one-on-one. Petrie loses balance there. Makes it easy for Adams, but I don't think he's going to be able to stay with him.
Yeah, I would prefer you don't match up Jalen Petrie one-on-one with one of the best receivers in the NFL, but that's just me.
The problem, that's his position. You moved him out of safety? You moved him into that nickel corner role?
But a nickel corner shouldn't be following Devontae Adams around.
I think they had him in this. I mean, yeah, you know, you're right. It'd be nice if he wasn't. But
I mean, you got Derek Stingley Jr., you got Kamari Lassiter. There's this weird thing that DeMeco does, Joe, with the defense, where they don't necessarily have Stingley follow around the best wide receiver. And, I mean, you should do that. Now, it may be a little bit more of a difficult proposition with the Jets since Garrett Wilson is pretty good, and Adams is obviously one of the tops in the game. But they seem to only periodically put Derek Stingley on the best guy out there. Jalen Petrie is just not good enough in man-to-man coverage to be covering wide receivers.
No, he's not. I mean, and they did this last year with Sting where when he was like really emerging, they would just leave him on his side of the field, and that's a philosophical thing that some teams do. I don't like it. Derek Stingley Jr. should have been following Garrett Wilson everywhere he went last night. And look, Garrett Wilson, his two touchdowns are both one-handed catches in this game. The first one's a one-handed catch. The second one's obviously one of the most remarkable catches we've seen this year. Probably the best catch we'll see this season.
I agree.
I can't imagine there'll be anything better than that. I still don't understand why a shin counts as another foot down, but it is what it is.
It is funny because
it's a stupid rule.
It's a shin on the same leg.
Yes.
But if you get your foot down twice, it's not a completion.
Yeah.
If you get both feet down, it's a completion. I guess it's a foot and a body part?
Yes.
And a shin is technically a body part.
Yes.
In the NFL rulebook.
So it's I'm with you, though. I mean, Petrie, to be matched up with Devontae Adams like that, he stumbles a little bit, but it doesn't matter. I mean, Kirk Herbstreit said it there. He was getting beat anyways. Devontae Adams was already past him when he started to stumble, so that play was ending in the same result no matter what. And it's just unfortunate where, you know, if you're going to put your guys in that position, you're going to get burned like that sometimes. And the Jets woke up in a major way, and I'm curious if they really did figure something out last night. Giving, you know, Garrett Wilson, like, physically, and coming out of the draft, was like, people thought he was going to be one of the best wide receivers in football very quickly. And he has had the worst quarterback play of any of these, like, top wide receivers. And now you're seeing what he can really be in the NFL, and he was just murdering you last night.
Yeah, Jake Asman, you're right.
He was so good. I hated
not watching. Jake Asman.
I know. I hated watching him at Ohio State.
Jake Asman did not play at Ohio State.
No, Garrett Wilson.
I know.
Just
being annoying.
That's okay. Well, because the Texans are annoying, so it's going to rub off on us a little bit.
We got a couple of texts. These are interesting ones. Three specific texts about David Carr. Here's one. I said this last week. I am getting serious PTSD relating to David Carr. CJ has happy feet from a terrible offensive line and is taking way too many shots. The front office isn't doing anything. Another text. With number one pick, David Carr comes to the Texans with no line to block for him, gets his ass handed to him every week, eventually fizzles out way before his time. Sound familiar? Thinking emoji. Another text. Do you think Stroud is getting David Carr'd? I mean, he'd have to get sacked 70 to 80 times because that's where Carr was. But I saw Aaron Wilson put this out on his Twitter. Stroud is on pace to be sacked, I believe, 56.23 times or something like that. Yeah. I mean, it's been worse this year. So, hey, progress.
I mean, they have... What sucks about the NFL is it's not like a lot of other sports where you can fix your problems in the middle of the season. Like, part of what Nick Cassero did this offseason was think that everything was fine, but they've got three guys to replace, at least two guys to replace on the offensive line this upcoming offseason. It'd be nice if they could fix one of them right now, for at least to try to save it.
I don't know if you're going to be able to do that. It's easier said than done. You're going to have to be super aggressive, and you're already spending a ton of money on this offensive line. I mean, just the total salaries of the guys who are starting for you, we're talking about $188 million. The draft resources invested into this, your left tackle's a first-round pick who you acquired for multiple first-round picks. Your left guard is a first-round pick. Your center is a second-round pick. Your right guard was a third-round pick. Your right tackle is a first-round pick. Your backup right tackle is a second-round pick. I mean, they've been putting in the effort for sure. It's just not working, and it is now affecting C.J. Stroud negatively.
And do you trust them to – this kind of came up yesterday a little bit. But would you trust Nick Cassero to replace those guys?
Who could trust them right now? Who could trust the offensive line coach to get them in the right spot? Who could trust Bobby Slowick to use them the right way as offensive coordinator? Who can trust anyone right now? It's been like this for a while. And, you know, something that actually bothered me was reading a couple of the quotes from Houston Texans players in the locker room after the game. I mean – to see Titus Howard say this is per DJ Bien-Aimé, the most frustrating part was we were the better team. We let that game get away from us. What are you talking about? The Jets let you stay in that game by jetsing all over themselves, and you Texans out the Jets while they were jetsing. You were Texansing. And when you Texansing, I mean, can we even make fun of the Jets anymore? I can't because I'm a Patriots fan, and I'm decidedly a Patriots fan right now. Decidedly. Off the bandwagon. You got to win me back. Listen, I'm a little slutty sports fan. I've said this a million times. You ain't doing well? Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
I don't blame you, Paul. I mean.
You want me to root for you? Come on.
Titus Howard to say that. Like what game are you watching, man?
It's unbelievable.
Like, what do you, like, do you look to your left during the game? Like, do you look to your left and see what's happening to CJ Stroud? Like, do you look to see, do you watch the film and see Kenyon Green getting, you know, dropped all the time and stunts that are not, shouldn't be this challenging to figure out as an entire offensive line? Like, that you guys are just getting, you know, worked over every single week? What are you talking about? You were the better team.
Yeah, that's insane, insane quote, okay? Like, hey, at least D'Amico's saying, yeah, I don't know what's going on. Well, crap, essentially. TLDR crap. C.J. Stroud saying it's embarrassing. And in that quote that we played in the last segment, he's saying, yeah, we can't really stand pat and act like this is all going to get better. But then you're hearing this from the offensive line, and it feels like of all the people on the team, the most delusional ones are the effing offensive linemen. And I'm not even talking about Kenyon Green. I can tell Kenyon Green's pissed at himself. I'm not talking about Kendra Green. I thought Kendra Green is very dramatic when he's angry out on the field. I mean, he's basically like William Defoe in Platoon when things go wrong. He like just drops down to his knees looking up at the sky as he's getting like shot at by the Viet Cong, you know? So, like, you go look at those guys. I feel like they seem to know what's up. But it's Laremy Tunsil and Titus Howard with this. Whenever they talk about things, there's an indifference. There's a level of delusion. This is Laremy Tunsil. And sorry to keep going here, but I can't believe that this is just okay to them. Laremy Tunsil, you don't want to ever give up 8 sacks. That's not the type of game we want. Oh, no way. We put in the work day in and day out, so we just got to keep working and stay consistent. It's a long season, a lot of football left. What does that mean? Does that mean it's going to get better?
Paul, what I hear is it's not me. Hand up. Not my problem. I'm doing my job. Titus Howard says he got to win his one-on-ones. Laremy Tunsil says we're working on it. We're doing great. Like, that's what I hear. I hear guys, you know, the way they're acting. And is basically, it's not my fault. Like, this isn't my problem. Same offensive line that when C.J. Stroud's getting crushed in games isn't there to pick him up. The same guys that when C.J. Stroud's getting borderline late hits out of bounds isn't running over and starting fights. The same guys that are just, for 2 seasons now, have not been good. I mean, I'm on my way home from trick-or-treating last night, and Laremy Tunsil, false start. And to hear Mark Vandermeer, hear the radio broadcast multiple times this year, has such disgust for Laremy Tunsil jumping off sides, shows you where we're at. When the two guys who are supposed to be the homers of Homer Texans fans, great guys, Mark and Andre, we love them. When they are verbally disgusted with what your offensive line is doing because they jump off sides and they have all these issues, there's a problem. And everyone knows it. And finally, it was nice, like, you're right, it's nice to hear D'Amico recognize it, but change something. It's been a problem. They've just ignored it. They would not have changed anything last night. This team is willingly making the decision to let C.J. Stroud get sacked over and over again because Kenyon Green can't protect. And the only reason why he's left the last 2 games is because your offense, because he got hurt.
He's got hurt.
He was. You cannot convince me. There's a world.
That's why he's out
in
yesterday.
Which, exactly. There's a world in which they bench this guy.
I mean, they did bench him, and then Patterson got hurt.
But they could have put Kendrick Green in.
Yeah.
They put him right back out
but
there.
I kind of get why they're not putting Kendrick Green in. But again, this is making excuses for them. And I mean, look, this is Al Michaels talking about a Laremy Tunsil false start. This isn't even the thing to get most mad about, Tunsil for a false start. But Al Michaels was in vintage form last night. Sean, if you could play that for us. Here is Laremy Tunsil on, I think, the second Texans drive of the game.
And before Mixon can get it and take off, another flag.
Tunsil, the left tackle.
False start. Offense number 78. 5-yard penalty. His first down.
Well, let's not stop the presses. He leads the league in penalties.
That's his 13th accepted penalty against Tunsil this year. That's the most. We're talking a lot of negativity tonight. That's the most in the NFL for him as well. So we got the interior, most pressure, left tackle, most penalties, but we promise it's going to get a lot better here.
Well, the Jets, in a moment of darkness, as they say, choose to wear black tonight on top of it all.
I loved hearing that from Al Michaels, but more so I liked hearing it from Kirk Herbstreit because there was a part of me that wants to believe that Herb Street is hearing all this stuff from D'Amico Ryans and the Texans saying it's going to get better and is raising an eyebrow to it. But that wasn't even the worst moment for Tunsil. Remember the play where C.J. Stroud scrambles to the left and he moves the ball into his left hand and they mark him a yard short and they ultimately go for it on fourth down, they get it. On that play, watch it back. Laremy Tunsil is just standing there doing nothing as C.J. Stroud rolls again to the left out to go scramble for what he thought would be a first. He moved the ball into the wrong hand. That play, it's where everybody gets this vibe that Laremy Tunsil is indifferent to what happens on the field. And look, if I were in his shoes getting paid that kind of money, would I be indifferent? Maybe. Maybe. I can't put myself in those shoes. What I do know is that happened, and there's a lot of moments like that. And when you hear him say what he says after the game or what Titus Howard says after the game, you can't give him any benefit of the doubt.
No, this is a guy that you're questioning why his two best seasons as a Houston Texan are in contract years. And the bad happens after he gets paid.
When's the next contract year? 2 years from now?
Hopefully he's not on the team then. Because like, I'm over. I don't want to ever hear it again about top five left tackle. Yesterday was a fun experience. So since I went trick-or-treating, I was like 5 minutes behind. So I was using your Twitter as a guide throughout the game. So when you tweeted about that play, I knew it was coming. So I kept an eye on it. And it was baffling to see him just standing there as C.J. Stroud takes off or tries to take off. It's unacceptable. It's unacceptable. How many laps did people run in high school for loafing? For you know, looking at film and just standing there as the play is going on? You're in NFL. You're supposed to be the best left tackle in the NFL. You're supposed to be a top 100 player in the NFL. And you're just loafing out there. Mm-hmm. It's remarkable.
Some more comments here. You can join us on YouTube at ESPN Houston here at Bobcat Houston in Lamarck. YouTube Keith says the offensive line is soft. Put him on soft boys next week. Is D'Amico too nice? I mean, it feels like a yeller would perhaps make these guys a little more self-aware, but I don't know. Once you get paid that much money, does anything really get to you? Does anything that someone says, is that going to make you put in a different level of effort when you've already earned what you believe you are due? I'm skeptical about that.
It's fair to be skeptical because every player is going to be different. I mean, like, there should be a lot of yelling. You got 10 days to not get embarrassed on Sunday Night Football against the Detroit Lions. 10 days to get ready for a team that just scored 50 points and their quarterback threw for under 100 yards.
Right.
C.J. Stroud said he doesn't like being embarrassed on national television. Well, you got 2 weeks of national television games coming up to not do it again.
Yeah. And I mean, on those Lions, now we've almost forgotten entirely how bad the defense played in the second half. They couldn't tackle, they couldn't cover anyone, and they let Aaron Rodgers find the fountain of youth with his cayenne pepper tea. The Lions have 23 touchdowns the last 4 weeks and 18 incompletions. So just think about that. And, I mean, at least the Lions defense isn't that good, but oh my God. Anyway, he's Joe George. I'm Paul Gallant. We are on YouTube and Twitch if you want to watch us here at Bobcat Houston in Lamarck. Come on down. Say hi. You can also join us by calling in or texting in at 713-780-3776. Or on Twitter, at Gallant says, at Joe George Radio. Do you want to do something kind of fun? Do you want to do a draft? What was the worst things in last night's game? And we'll get Sean in on this one, too. So we like a snake draft.
I like it.
Two things each. What was the worst thing for the Texans in that 21-13 loss, which was not a 21-13 loss? We'll discuss. Stay put.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening. listening to Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Bobcat of Houston in Lamarck.
A lot of bad in last night's Texans loss to the Jets. 21-13, the final score. It should have been at least 28-13, but a Jet player forgot to run the football into the end zone. Malachi Corley, my God.
That's tough for a rookie.
I really wanted to rant about this guy all game, all show. I really did. Nothing makes me more furious than someone who fumbles. So then when somebody who fumbles basically to look cool does it, it's insane. I can't believe it. People do this a lot. DeSean Jackson did it twice. Joe Mixon did it once.
I forgot that until I saw you tweet that.
Mixon got lucky.
Watch.
Yeah, Mixon got away with it. I remember watching it and saying to myself, you know what, like, obviously he's got the off-the-field issues, but I remember saying that, like, I wouldn't draft him entirely because of that play. Now I'm very glad that the Houston Texans have him because he was the only guy that did well last night. But we got a bunch of texters saying in from the 281, can the offensive coordinator call some quick throws to protect Stroud, slants, and screens? Well, the screens don't exactly work so well. Another one from the 832. Slowick should be fired. The biggest plays come off of play action, and he does it like two times. Throw quick slants, Bobby. Bobby, damn it.
I mean,
it's the other way around. I forgot. I've never watched King of the Hill. Sorry. That's a probably offensive thing to say here in Texas, but I've never watched it.
I probably watched like five episodes. I think it's overrated. So I guess we'll offend people.
See,
together.
I wouldn't say that. I was going to say it's the greatest show ever, and I just haven't seen it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm going to say I didn't enjoy it that much.
Okay.
Bobby Slowick, they're running the ball so well, and then they don't run play action that often. Get CJ Stroud outside the pocket. Like, how do you protect your quarterback when your interior offensive line's not good? Move him. Like, move him outside the pocket. Like tell Titus and Laremy Tunsil, these great tackles who think they're so good, and, you know, it seems like they're the only ones that don't have any problems. Well, roll out. Like roll out. And then even then, the receivers, though, and not in defense of Bobby Slowick, because I don't want to do that today, there was one play, I think it was, like, in the first quarter, maybe it was the second quarter, where they run a play action, and C.J. Stroud has so much time, and he's just sitting back there, and there is not an open wide receiver anywhere on the field. So even when they did give you good pass blocking, you barely got anything out of it besides the 50-yard throw to Tank Dell. I mean, it was...
At least we'll have that.
At least we have that.
Tank Dell at 120 yards receiving.
Joe Mixon's really good. How can you be so good at run blocking and so bad at pass blocking? Like, they're really talented at one of their jobs.
I don't even know if that good at run blocking. I think Joe Mixon is just special, but hey, we'll pretend that the Texans are really good at run blocking. I'm not going to go back and watch the film. Too lazy for that, especially after that effort they put in last night. So here's what we're going to do, because there was a lot of bad in this game. Let's try to have some fun with the bad, right? Let's do a draft. Six picks, each of us gets two. Sean Mapes back at Mission Control, Joe George and me at Bobcat of Houston in Lamarck. What was the worst thing in last night's game? Sean Mapes, you were on the clock with the first overall pick. What was the worst?
Lot of great choices, but I'm ready. The pick is in. On 2nd and 7 from the New York Jets 10, direct snap to Joe Mixon. Joe Mixon passing complete to short to C.J. Stroud. That was where I was like, ooh. This is not good. It didn't help that two plays later, they made a field goal and then nullified it, and then four plays later missed a field goal.
Why does he always get so cutesy? Why does Bobby Slowick always do this? It's like once a game, and it almost never works out, and it's always something like this. We didn't even mention that until now.
It's such a stupid play. Joe Mixon threw a great ball, I will say that.
It actually was.
And there was pass interference on the play.
There was.
It wasn't like a terrible ball that he threw. But,
it was bad.
Mixon threw a touchdown pass in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. And so to call that play 2nd and 7, if it was like 2nd and 1, I'd be okay with it.
Because it's
still a manageable third down. But, you know, with everything going on with the Texans offense, to be like, let's risk a 3rd and 7 to have our running back throw to our quarterback, that's crazy.
That's a good pick.
I mean, there should just be a rule that, like, if your offense is not good, you can't run trick plays. Like, Detroit's running trick plays nonstop, but they've already got 40 points in the game, so what does it matter?
Ugh.
Just new rule, no trick plays.
Joe George, you are second on the clock in the what was the worst thing that happened in last night's Texas loss draft?
I've got two picks here. I'm going to turn in my card here. If it needs to be rejected, let me know.
Okay.
I just want to take Kenyon Green. Can I just take Kenyon Green?
Kenyon Green, 6.4 PFF grade.
Kenyon Green now out for the season.
Dislocated shoulder.
Per Ian Rappaport.
Well, it's the second straight year that he's suffered a season-ending injury.
Third? He didn't finish his first year, did he?
I don't remember what happened his first year. I feel like he... Because I don't remember that year at all, just to be perfectly honest. But no, I feel like he had a pretty serious looking injury in the Saints game of last year, but he wasn't doing very well in the preseason that year either. Okay, so you just want Kenyon Green.
Yes, Kenyon Green and his 6.4 PFF grade out of 100.
I mean, it's hard to be that bad. I do feel bad for him because everyone's piling on, and at the very least, he's only in his technically second year. He didn't play last year. But yeah, all right, I'll allow that. I will allow Kenyon Green.
Paul, back to back here.
Okay. So with my third pick... The third pick. I'm going to pick the MetLife Stadium turf. Here are some of the players who were injured in this game. Jalen Petrie, Devontae Adams, Will Anderson, Kenyon Green, C.J. Stroud, Laremy Tunsil, Shaq Mason, Sauce Gardner, among others.
Oh my gosh. That's so bad.
Incredibly, there is something as bad as the Houston Texans in last night's game. It is that quagmire of a field that they play on. And the crazy thing is, that's a modern field. But we read the article yesterday, leading up to November of 2023, in the years that they had opened MetLife Stadium. I guess, like, or actually, check that. In a three-year period from 2020 to 2023, there were 17 season-ending injuries that took place on that field. We saw C.J. Stroud suffer a concussion there last year. That field, whatever that surface is truly horrific. So that'll be the third pick. I feel like I have to pick this one, even though it was something that happened to the Jets with the fourth overall pick. Malachi Corley fumbling on the goal line with style, with flair. My God. And you know what the worst part about that is? It's not just that continues to happen in football. It's that this makes it seem like the Texans didn't lose by that much.
Yes.
They lost 28-13. I'm putting an asterisk by that 21-13 score. They lost 28-13. That guy, how do you fumble the one? I don't know how you do it. Why are you fumbling to be cool?
You just run out the back of the end zone, dude. Like just run out. Just run it out. But your first NFL touchdown.
When did that become a cool touchdown dance? That's what I don't get. Like, I'm just going to drop the ball as I go into the end zone. Why not take a couple steps and spike the ball? Why not do something with the ball?
Yeah, just the principle of it. Like, even if you cross the goal line, just dropping the ball as you get in. Why is that? It's not a good celebration. It's a bad celebration, honestly.
All right, Joe George, you're back up on the clock in the worst things that happened in last night's game.
Well, that was going to be my pick. I was really hoping you were going to pass on it for
some
reason.
No, I couldn't. I wanted to take it later so I could get more value on it. Looks like a more expert pick to take it fourth.
Then I have to go with Kaimi Fairbairn.
Yeah.
Missing two field goals in this game. So, you know, asterisk in a glass half full way, Paul. They only lost 21-19 if Kaimi Fairbairn just, you know, did his job.
That's true.
So, you know, screw your 28-13. I'll take my 21-19. Kaimi two missed field goals. Very, very bad.
I mean, that one was
big old doink.
That one was 27 yards.
Yeah.
How long was the double doink field goal?
Honestly, I don't think
it was fairly close.
I think it was like 33 yards.
Yeah, it was fairly close, but it wasn't that close. The worst one is the Blair Walsh missed field goal against the Seahawks, where, I mean, that was like I think that was a 19-yard field goal. It was right there. Guy missed it. All right, Sean Mapes, you were last on the clock in the worst things that happened in the Texans and Jets game last night, annual draft.
I hope it's not annual. Although we could,
well, it's 2 years in a row now.
We could have done. Just clarification: is this my last pick, or do I have one more?
This is the last pick. This is the last pick of the draft.
Okay, so I'll just lump these two together. I was going to break them apart if I had another round. Lump together the combined 5 targets for 0 catches and 0 yards from John Metchie and Xavier Hutchinson.
Oh,
on a night
Stroud missed one.
And a night you needed them to step up, they didn't. And
they did not.
I could also throw in Cade Stover, 2 targets, 0 catches. I won't.
Yeah, I won't throw a penalty Cade Stover too.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Because some of that falls on CJ too.
Yeah, basically the others in the Houston Texans receiving core. I mean, really everyone other than Tank Dell. But yeah, the offensive line's mostly to blame for this, just because that kind of ruined every drop back the half a second after it started. But we really thought that this wide receiver core was very deep going into the year, and it's being tested and it's failing.
Yes.
Well, thankfully, unless the New York Jets win the division, the Texans won't have to play them next year. Well, actually, well, I guess the Texans have to win their division for that to be.
Yeah, I was going
to
say
for sure, because
they might both finish second.
Yeah, because they just play the AFC East is one of the obviously next year.
Yeah, so, and Flacco's in now, dude.
So you never know.
It's Joe Flacco time. Anyway, Galan and George, he's Joe and Paul. We thank you for participating in the 2024 edition of the Texans losing an ugly game to the Jets at MetLife Stadium draft. We'll be back at this next year, and it's been real. You still got 2 hours to go.
Hopefully not again this season, though. I don't want to have to do another one of these, but I think we will.
CJ Stroud, what's going on? Is this a sophomore slump? We'll discuss. He's Joe. I'm Paul. Sean back at Mission Control. We are at Bobcat of Houston in Lamar. Come out, say hi, stick around.
ESPN 97.5.